I mean, this guy's a warrior. I have a ton of respect for him as a player. They got really good skill around him. They're tough and physical up front. They all really understand their scheme, and they take a lot of pride in the execution of it. So put a lot of strain on you defensively. I mean, it's there's multiple options on every snap, and but you know they're going to put it in their best player's hands. So you know they got between their quarterback and zero and one. Those guys really strain you. They're going to touch the ball early, often, in a lot of different ways, whether it's from the backfield, jet sweeps, and then they've done a nice job with some guys on the perimeter that they brought in there that have the ability to make some big plays too. So some of those guys didn't play a lot last week with the nature of their game. They blocked a couple of kicks, so they do a good job. You know, creating some opportunity there. We'll have to do a really great job with our protection. And then defensively, you know, they're not giving up a ton of big plays. I mean, they do a nice job of, you know, just executing their defense, being where they're supposed to be. They're active up front. They're thick and stout up front. You know, so, again, you know, game kind of got away last week, but a good opener versus Colorado to kind of get a feel for their personnel over there. So a big challenge for us. Again, you know, this is also a rivalry game. You know, Clemson-Georgia Tech's one of the older ones. They've been going on for a long time. Always fun to you know, be a part of this this game. Been a lot of great ones over the years, and we're thankful for this opportunity. But look forward to going down there and having a great competition. Any questions?
Physical battle is always important, like on the line of scrimmage, defensive line, but given what you were talking about with how much they play with your eyes, is the mental maybe as important, keeping their eyes in the right places?
Yeah, eye discipline is, I mean, you know, this is critical. It's always critical, regardless of style of play, because everybody presents their own challenges from an eye discipline standpoint. But these guys, I mean, pretty much every snap, there's a shift, there's a motion, you know, there's some type of jet. And then by nature of just their scheme, you know, it's quarterback power, quarterback counter with RPOs built into it, with what we call slash guys coming down the line of scrimmage. You know, where they just don't block people. They just control them based on reaction. Keep it, pull it, and if I do pull it, well, there's a pit, not necessarily a pitch player, but there's an outlet pass. So it's basically a triple option scheme, you know, from spread formations, and just different ways to get to it. Again, and then they'll run around and, you know, turn around and bam, they're hitting you right up the middle with some type of, you know, downhill play. But, you know, it's all about the quarterback. I mean, he makes it go. I mean, because he's the decision maker. I mean, so it's hard to make him wrong as far as, you know, because he's equipped to make them right. So you have to win matchups. You know, you got to win matchups. You got to tackle in space. So eye discipline is critical. Certainly the physical matchup is critical, but you also got to do a great job in space because the ball gets in the space. Just by nature of everybody doing their job, and so you got to have some hard edges. You know, they're going to challenge you on the perimeter, and so that's what they do best. I mean, they make you defend the field, sideline to sideline, and then they got the shots built into it in the play action.
Does it concern you also that especially if you look back at the game, Miami game last year against them, they used two quarterbacks, and then last week obviously showed a different quarterback. That you got to prepare for both guys?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the backup, I mean, he threw for a ton of yards. He's a good player. You know, they can both run the offense. So, yeah, you got to be prepared for that. Those are things that you always, anytime you see something on tape like that, two quarterbacks in the game, that puts puts your antenna up a little bit. So, yeah, we just got to do a great job again, just taking care of our business, making sure that we communicate well, eyes are in the right place, and that physically everybody does their job. That's what it comes down to.
Dabo, going back and watching the tape from the past couple weeks, what have you seen has been, I guess, the biggest reason
for some of the offensive struggles with McKay and the rest of the offense?
Routine stuff. Just really poor job with routine stuff. Routine stuff. It's really that simple.
Routine stuff is fixed for this game.
Yeah, practice. And again, that's the frustrating part is it hasn't shown up in practice. And then you get into that first game, and again, there was a lot there in the first game. In a game like that, it's you're going to get four or five plays, and we didn't take advantage of those opportunities. And so it's going to come down to a play or two, and we just didn't perform like we needed to. But this past week. Just some precision in what we're doing. And again, just defensively, after two games, they've done a good job. Not that they're perfect, but they've given up three touchdowns in two games. I can live with that. The fourth touchdown was on the offense on a pick six. So we got to just clean up the execution part from an offensive standpoint. That's just not played with great rhythm, and guys got to make the plays that are there. That's where it starts. Whether it's the quarterback or it's catching the ball, just getting there. We got too many 9 out of 11 guys doing their job, and that's you're not going to be a great offense when that's the case. So played two games, got two different experiences and two opportunities to learn and teach and grow, and our job to go get better.
Obviously, you talked about Georgia Tech as a very defined identity offensively. What have you seen in practice? What's the identity of Clemson? You guys are actually taking that to the game field, do you think?
Well, right now, it's not very good. So it's early, though. We'll see. We've got a long way to go.
I guess what have you seen in terms of in practice?
Very productive. Elite quarterback play, explosive receivers, really good run game. It's been that way all the camp. And then we just didn't get off to the start that we want. But don't mean we can't have the ending we want.
Having some time to review the film, what stood out about Adam Randall against Troy?
Just his toughness, his will to win, his heart. He's physical, and this is his first game. We didn't even really hardly use him in the first game. There's a lot of opportunity for him to grow, and I think the biggest thing is just his timing and some things. Especially when it comes to your counter and your powers, and when you've got pullers. There's times where he's not where he's too fast. All of a sudden, he gets sped up, and that can happen. Especially, Spiller used to be that way. Spiller used to, heck, he was the puller because the puller was behind him. But he was so fast, it didn't matter. But that ain't good football. I need to be in the hip of my pullers, all right? And so there's timing. And, again, that's just comes from playing a little bit. And because oftentimes you can get in a game and, you get sped up a little bit. And so I think Adam, and he did some really good stuff, but I think just some precision a little bit more in his footwork and just the timing and the feel of where he needs to be on some of our landmarks, tracks, not cutting on air, pressing the blocks, just some basic stuff that he's done well in practice. But, again, he's just got to stick to that when he gets into the game. So, and again, his first real opportunity in that regard, but he's a good football player. He's gonna keep going, and then hopefully we can get some rhythm going in our offense where we can get the flow a little bit better with some of our other guys as well.
Do you have more confidence in their in-game adjustments after Saturday?
They did a nice job. It's really again. It's not as much about the adjustments as it is us just executing what we've coached them to do and, getting 11 guys to do their job. That's really what this comes down to. It was a nice job. I think the biggest thing Saturday was just calming everybody down and just, playing through the funk. Because that was a really weird – it was just a really weird deal. You felt like you're down 35 to nothing. And because, it's just, you finally get a break and it's a fumble and you got field position. Next thing you know, it goes 50 yards that way. And, you get a drop, the fumble, pick six. It's like what all could go wrong here? But, hey, that's football. And to see them respond like that shows what they're made of. So great test for them early.
offensively, but has Cade been as much of a factor with his legs as maybe envisioned in those two games?
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's been too much of a factor with his legs. He's scrambled when he doesn't need to scramble. You know, that's where he's got to get better. And that's what he did early in his career. And he did as the game, especially, you know, as we got into rhythm. I mean, he was really good. But even the other day, there were a couple of plays where, you know, he's running out of the pocket for no reason. And he didn't do that all camp. So that's just, you know, it was really bad in the LSU game. But he had just a couple of plays. And then again, once we kind of got in rhythm, I mean, he looked like Cade. So again, hopefully they'll pick up where they left off from a execution standpoint, and you know, we'll have a chance to be a good offense.
What's the message heading into a game like this? And obviously, you mentioned ACC opener, road opener. Tech has a huge home crowd there. Just the message to the guys about this type of game, first one they're going to play in.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's always a message when you're going on the road of preparing your guys that no different than at home, honestly, in that, you know, external things can't determine your performance. You know, I mean, just if it does, then you're always going to be controlled by external things. And so when you're in the arena, you've got to really be, you know, disciplined, you know, with how you think and what your focus is on. Because, you know, where your focus goes, your energy flows, right? And so, you know, if you're focused on all these things you don't control, you know, they're cheering for you or they're screaming at you, your energy goes that way, right? Like, you just got to focus on what you're doing one play at a time and tune all that stuff out, you know, whether it's real noise or, you know, just noise that we live in society. It's all the same. So it's a great opportunity. That's just part of it. You're going to be a great team. You got to go win on the road. I mean, and so in this, and you know, we all get 8 conference games, and every game is a playoff game. It's just how it is. I mean, that's how you got to look at it. Every game, every conference game is a playoff game, because everybody's got the same goals and aspirations. And when you lose one, you put yourself kind of, you know, a little wind at your face. You're not out, but you kind of wind at your face and you're a little uphill. Last year we lost one game, but as it turned out, if Miami had beat Syracuse, then they would have had the tiebreaker, you know, because now you got all these tiebreakers and who played who and all that stuff. So but Syracuse won the game, and so we had one loss, and SMU was undefeated. So that's who went to the league. So the best path is to go win all your conference games. That's your best path. And so every conference game is a playoff game, because every conference game has playoff implications, because every conference games impacts who's going to the championship of your league. So that's just the reality of it. And, you know, you just embrace it and let's go compete. Don't get a result and go to the next one. Every game in college football to me is every week it's a season of its own. It's a season of its own. And then you learn from it, you study it, and then you put it away and new season. Every week, and that just has to be your mentality. You can't let stuff carry over. I don't care what the circumstances are. And, you know, I've been on, you know, we've had one undefeated team or two 14-0 teams. You know, we've had a couple of those type of teams where, like, that just has to be your mentality. And I've also had a 4-4 team that, hey, yeah, none of that matters, that won out. So it's just, you just have to just fight every week to get better and compete, and who's in, who's out, as far as, you know, your players and your personnel, and put a good plan together and go try to win that season every week.
How do you feel like this team is handling the mental and emotional side after these first two games, whether it's in game or in the aftermath?
Great. I mean, you know, I thought you saw a lot of that Saturday. I mean, these guys, I mean, that's a frustrating situation to be in. And again, they won't take away from Troy. This isn't some 1AA team now. It's a good football team, all right? A well-coached team. They're tough. They got good players, and you're down 16-0. And like everything's going against you, and your defense is sitting there going, what the heck? You know, it can challenge you. But I think you saw the grit of our team, the heart of our team, the resilience of these guys, courage. You know, got to have some courage to fight back in those situations. And so I think you learned a lot about the mentality of our team. Same thing against LSU. Came down to the last play. Even though you know what you're watching, we missed a lot of opportunities in that game. Big opportunities that were there. And don't take anything away from them. But when you had to have it, we get a punt return and we go right down the field. And we're in position inside the 15 and we just don't make a play that's there. Two plays. We'll make a third down or a fourth down play, and both of them are there. And so we didn't finish, but their toughness, their will to win, is on full display in both of our games. So they got a great will to win, and when you got that, you get better.
Coach, that first touchdown of Adams, you just gave him a big hug. What were you saying to him in that moment?
I was just proud of him. I mean, it was, you know, I thought he really, sparked us. I mean, he ran through some trash. He broke some tackles. You could just see, again, his will to win, you know, and just saw his heart. That's what I thought. And it really just it ignited his teammates. It was great to see that.
After the Troy game, you mentioned defenses being better on third and long. Was it something Troy was doing that they were executing, or I guess
no, it was us. It was us. They just took advantage of it. You know, we got the biggest run, the 28-yard run was, you know, Sammy's right there, and for some reason he runs backside. You know, we got the run's going to stay between Ronan and Sammy, and just at the last second, I mean, he's right there in the gap. He plays over the top. So just try to do too much. Just do your job, and it's a one-yard gain. Instead, it goes 28. And then we had a pass play, a long yardage, and Ronan didn't get – he just had the wrong call and lined up wrong. He's supposed to be in a show position. He's supposed to run to the middle of the field. Well, he's over here lined up wrong, and then he just stayed there. Even if he lines up wrong and gets where he's supposed to be, it would have been okay. But he didn't. And so they threw the ball right where the void was, where he was supposed to be. So they took advantage of the mistakes. And then, you know, the big wheel route, you know, that's Kobe. His eyes are on two, but we don't have man coverage. That's a fire zone. So he's got a zone. And he played it like he had man coverage on the running back. The running back just stayed in the backfield. So he's coming up, and they slip in. He should have been dropping right in that zone, right to him. And so, you know, just some details, just some execution. Nothing that can't be corrected, you know, base stuff. So guys are playing hard. You know, the ball's coming out quick. We've played two teams that they don't hold – neither team's held the ball. I mean, you know, and that's – I mean, I talked to their head coach after the game just to you know, chat with him a little bit. And I mean, there was no way they were going to hold the ball. They weren't going to play in a drop-back passing game, you know. So the ball was going to come out quick. It was going to be play screens and play actions. And we got to be a little better on the perimeter, you know. You know, we've done okay, but we got to tighten some things down and get off a few blocks, be a little more physical out there. But we've done some good things. I mean, the first and 23, you know, we got them at first and 23, and they run a boot, and we've got a field pressure coming. Like, that should be a sack. You can't have a better call. That's like running a reverse, and you got a corner cat coming. Like, you almost think they you know, knew your play coming, right? Like, anytime you run a reverse and here comes a corner cat, you're like, all right, wait a minute, you know. So, I mean, we got field pressure coming right into a boot, and our pressure guy goes inside. And he's the outside. I mean, he's the edge guy. I mean, he ought to blow that up. Instead, the quarterback's right outside. And then AV, it's first and 23. So he's playing tight about 2 yards on the receiver there, as opposed to just playing a float technique. And so, you know, because we're in a two deep there, and he's got the flat, but he's about 2 yards. And so instead of playing a float technique and making them take the underneath little dump throw, they throw in behind him, and it's first and 23, and it goes to, you know, whatever. You know, they end up getting the first down. So they're just details, just some situational awareness, some details, just alignments, eyes on the right things, you know. It's the difference between man and zone, where you're supposed to be. So nothing that they can't correct. The third and nine run was our third and seven run. We didn't get the call communicated to our two D tackles, so we weren't where we needed to be there. So just mistakes by us and that they took advantage of. But they're playing tough, playing hard. We've turned people over, and we keep them out of the end zone. You know, I mean, that's the name of the game, points. And if we can be a stingy defense, and again, the first touchdown was on the coaches. So really, our defense has given up two touchdowns. You know, the one that they got on our defense, that was on us as coaches. Should not have happened, but give them credit. It was a little game plan deal that caught us, and we didn't help them.
Is Tristan Lee, is he practicing this week?
Yeah, we're going to do an injury report on Thursday. So I think it starts this week, right? So we'll put that out on Thursday. But I'm sure you'll know by tonight. So you can tweet it out.
What's that process been like with the injury report and knowing that everybody else is going to be doing one, two, and those?
I really don't care, honestly. I mean, it's just – you know, the new thing this year. We did it before. I don't know what year that was. Maybe it was before COVID.
I think it ended like 17.
Yeah, we did it at one point. We had to do all that stuff. And then, Tim, you probably remember that. But then it went away. And I guess it's coming back. So we'll put something out on Thursday. And then I think we put something out again Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So it's, I guess that's kind of what the NFL does, isn't it? So, I guess it's for gambling. I think that's what the purpose of it is. So we'll post it on Thursday. But like I said, y'all, check Larry. He'll have it. He'll have it. He'll have all the info way before then. way before.
On that injury, how much has the flow of the offense been missing Antonio?
I mean, he's our best player. I mean, it's just that simple. He's the best player we got. He's special. I mean, he's just seasoned. He's crafty, smart. I mean, he's special dude. So certainly doesn't help us that he's not out there. But like I said, if we can just find a way to battle through these first couple games, that the positive has been Tyler has been able to really make some plays and really get back in the rhythm of playing, having been out last year.
Is this the most surprised you've been that over the years that camp performance offensively hasn't translated?
No, dealt with it before. I mean, I feel like I'm living 2016 all over again, honestly. In fact, I went back and looked at my notes from 2016 after the Troy game, just curious. And it was like I could have just erased the name. I could have just walked into the team meeting with the same comments because, you know, we just weren't playing. Different reasons, but same comments. You know, the only difference is we made one more play than Auburn in the opener. Came down to a Hail Mary. We played terrible. I think we dropped three touchdowns in that game. I think we had 11 drops in our first two games those 2 years. I think we had 11 drops. Again, three touchdowns in the Auburn game. That was the game. And then Wayne Gallman, you know, he ran out of bounds. And, I mean, it's just like we just were – I don't know. Deshaun was not playing well. What's wrong with Deshaun? Everybody's beating Deshaun up. He's terrible. He thinks he's the Heisman. He's this and that. He was 16. It was his last year. All the hype. And, you know, honestly, similar to this team, that was the first time that they got all the rat poison. You know, and that's kind of this group. This group ain't had the rat poison. They've just had the you suck poison. And this is the first time this group's really had to manage that. And I don't think some of them have managed it well, obviously. You know, just being real. And I would say the same thing about that group. You know, because, nobody voted us high in 15. And we just kept winning. And we just kept winning. That might have been the best team I've had, honestly. It was 15. I mean, that was a really good group. And they just kind of – but nobody really expected much out of them. We hadn't won the league since 11. And all of a sudden, here comes 15, and that team wins the league. They go on to the national championship. We know all how that played. But now coming into the 16 season, There's a lot of rat poison, as Coach Saban likes to talk about. And these are young people. Your quarterback's he's the first pick. He's the Heisman. You got all these guys back. You got Mike Williams back. You got Artavis. You got Ray Ray. You got Dion. You got Renfro. You got all these guys. And, all these experienced guys up front. You got these guys on defense. And you're just going to press play right to Tampa. Right, and that's kind of how I felt with that team. That was. I actually said that to the team. You guys feel like y'all can just, because their whole mindset was we're going to Tampa, and I'm like, you don't just hit fast forward. It doesn't work that way. This ain't a video game where you just, on TV on the screen you hit 10 seconds forward or you hit the arrow and it goes to the next thing. That ain't how this works. It's one step at a time, one play at a time. You got to play every game. You're getting everybody's best shot. You're the league champion. And so I don't think they handled that well out of the gate. And we go down to Auburn, I thought we stunk. Even though and it's the same thing. If Cade throws the touchdown to Tyler Brown and we win in overtime, I'm still pissed on Monday. Ain't nothing changed. Nothing changes. It's how you play. I've won a lot of games where we played like crap. I've lost some games where we played really good. Sometimes the team's just better, to me, it's how you play. It's about how you play, who you play, where you play, what time you play, any of that stuff. It's how you play the game, right? Coach Stallings used to always say, when the great scorer comes to mark against your name, he cares not whether you won or lost, but how you played the game. And then the next week, ironically, we're playing Troy. And it was the same thing. I think it came down to an onside kick. Couldn't stop them in the fourth quarter. Win 30-24. That's a national championship. What's wrong? They all suck. Everything's bad. And that team, I kept telling them, you keep touching that stove, it's going to burn you. And sure enough, we get to Pittsburgh and 600 yards of the shovel pass right up our it burned us, and same thing. We had, 500 and something yards of offense. Might have had 600 yards of offense, but how many turnovers did we have? I think we had 5 turnovers in that game. Deshaun was turning it up. We just weren't playing well. We had 11 drops in the first two. We just weren't playing well. So that's a long answer to your question, but yes. I've been doing this a long time. It doesn't always go perfect. And I've had some teams that get off to a great start that struggled a little bit in camp. And I've had some teams great in camp and struggle a little bit. Who you play matters. We could, like I said, some of these teams out there don't break a sweat till October. But we've always played people. And, it doesn't always go great. But we're battle tested, but we got to get better. It just ain't no other. We continue like this. We ain't going to win many games. We got to get in rhythm on offense. And we got plenty. We got the dudes. And we gotta do a better job as coaches and getting rhythm. But we're doing a lot of good things, too. There's a lot of things that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet that excite me as a coach, especially what I saw in the moment of last week. That was awesome. That's special. You hate situations like that, but it's special when you see a group of guys fight and stay together when everything's against you. That was awesome. You saw it in the NFL. The Bills are down 15 with 4 minutes. I think half the stadium left, right? I've been to a Bills game. I'm sure that was salty. But get what they do. They just kept playing. Just keep playing. Have a bad week? Keep playing. We're 4-4 around here. We won 5 in a row. You just got to play every week. And as coaches, we're teachers, And these are so many great lessons that you learn through this game of football that equip you for the rest of your life. It ain't always easy. They don't always go the way you want. For me and none of y'all either. I got a group of people writing about it the whole way through. It just comes with it. It's part of it.
If the diagnosis for the 16 team was one to hit the fast forward button to play Alabama again. Do you know enough yet to diagnose the reasons behind the current?
Yeah, that's what I said. I think it's the first time that this bunch, and I don't know if that's the reason. I just think it's the first time. I mean, they just, you know, the part that's supposed to suck is my punter and my special teams, and they're playing great. But they've been told how bad they are the whole time, how bad they are. But offensively, it's been like, man, nobody's going to ever stop. They're never going to punt. Nobody's going to ever stop them. You know, well, you forget you got to go play the game and you got to execute. Everybody's got good coaches and good players, and our execution is just, it's just not what it needs to be. The precision and the details, it's just not. And that's exactly what I said. You know, I knew I had good players. I got a great player. I got guys going to play on Sunday, but everybody's got a job to do. And, you know, my job is, are we in position to be successful? Now, if we're not in position to be successful, the plays aren't there, then that's a different story. That's a different story. But, you know, everybody's got accountability in what they got to do. And we better be on point this Saturday. This will be a battle.
You mentioned the special teams. Really, the only thing, the only miss has been the 48-yard field goal that was missed. Other than that, you've had a punt return that was significant, a kickoff return probably that didn't get enough play last week. No kickoff returns by opponents. One punt return, I think, so far by opponents.
And we pinned them deep. Yeah. We put them inside the 10. We executed a deep onside. I mean, Jack's been, he's done a really nice job. I mean, that kid had a lot of pressure on him. Y'all couldn't wait for him to shank one. I mean, y'all couldn't wait for him to shank one. Y'all, I know y'all had all the headlines ready. Sweeney's stupid. He should have gone to the portal and got a punter. He's, you know, whatever. Y'all had them ready. Y'all had them. Y'all keep them. They might come a day where y'all can use them, but not today. Today's not the day. Could come a day. So hang on to them. I know you got them written. I mean, I don't think it was inconsistent. I think all three guys can do the job. I just think, you know, sometimes we just think because we don't name a guy that they're all terrible, and that's just not the case. We have three good punters. Like, I really believe in McCune, and I feel terrible. I've been calling him McCune for it's McCune, like a Q. And he finally got the courage to tell me like 2 weeks ago. I feel terrible about that. Apologize to his family, but, you know, I mean, it looks like McCune, but it's McCune. Pecan, pecan, whatever. It's, you know, there's a lot of ways to do this stuff. But anyway, that kid can punt the ball. So can Robert Gunn. All three, I really have confidence in all three of them, but it wasn't that they were inconsistent. They were all just pretty good, and nobody just took it. There was times where they were all like, whoa. And then they were just not bad, but just nobody really just separated. And so, bless you. And so I just, you know, I mean, Jack's the guy we recruited, and I thought he was just a nudge. He's been here. He's just he kind of ready. And but now you got, like I said, now you got to go to the game. That was kind of the next stage was, all right, well, let's get to the game, and then we'll decide if we keep running him out there, we give another guy a chance. That could be an in-game decision, I don't, you know. But he's really performed well. I mean, you're talking about against LSU's first punts backed up in the end zone. I mean, it doesn't get any tougher than that. And he's placed the ball well directionally. He sky punted it. He's been really good, but I have confidence in those other two guys. I think we have a really good punting situation, you know. So I know there's been a lot of angst about it, but, and you know, somebody comes to practice one day, you know, or the media comes to practice for two periods, and it's like, oh my God, they all shanked it. Well, you know, maybe they just had a bad day, a bad period, you know. But it'd be terrible to be judged on, you know, 1 hour of our day. We could have a bad hour, and the other 23 were pretty good. But so I think just misinformation or whatever from time to time gets out there and creates their own narratives. And y'all don't always believe me, even though I tell y'all the truth. So. except Kornblut. I never tell him the truth. From definitely early on in his career, and Aiden was the most consistent, and Aiden did a nice job for us. So he just couldn't quite beat him out, you know, and Aiden got the game experience, and we were comfortable with him, and did a nice job.
The fans had like a tailgate part two during the rain delay. They were having a party up there waiting for you guys. What does that support mean for you, for them to stick around?
Were they selling alcohol in the parking lot?
it might have helped with the sticking around a little bit.
Oh, it's great. I really appreciate those that hung in there. I mean, that's just, you know, it's a tough. It was a great crowd at the beginning, and then it was, you know, fairly sparse. But those that were there were awesome. I mean, they were loud, and they were, you know, right on point when we needed them to be. I really appreciate that, because again, I know it's just that's a, and they want to be safe. I mean, you know, there's storms, there's all kind of stuff. So I thought they did a great job. Again, those that hung around, you know, we really felt that presence, and it made a difference for us down the stretch.
What's your relationship like with Brent Key? Interim coach, trying to kind of do what you did.
Yeah, Brent's been great. I mean, we've spent a lot of time together, talked together a bunch, and you know, he's a Birmingham boy. You know, played at Hewitt Trustful. I played at Pelham, so we're both from kind of same neck of the woods. You know, I just think he's done a great job. You know, he really loves that place. He played there. It's important to him, and you know, he's put his personality into it. You know, they're a physical football team. He's a offensive line guy, and he believes in running the football, and you know, they live that out. So I think he's done a really, really good job, and he's recruiting well. But he's put a good staff together. I think their staff is excellent. Staff's done a awesome job. You got really good coordinators, and so got a lot of respect for Brent. Always fun to be around him. He's got a good personality. He's got good perspective.
What's the challenge? They've got a first-time DC that's not really been a play caller. You got like really one game's worth of like real tape.
Yeah.
What's the challenge of facing that?
It's a challenge. I mean, at least you have Colorado. I mean, that game came down to the wire. So, I mean, they wasn't worried about Clemson, you know, playing Colorado. They're doing everything you can. Like I said, every game's a season of its own. You know, you gotta just be in the moment you're in, do everything you can to win. So, at least some years you got teams you play and they ain't played anybody in 3 weeks, so you don't really know. But you got a little bit of a feel, and you got a couple games at least seeing their personnel, and obviously we got some tape from last year as far as some of the personnel stuff. But you got to look at Texas. I mean, he came from Texas. Obviously, we played them, so you. You study that, study his background a little bit on where he's been, and try to do, you know, these first couple games are all, you know, games that you have to do a lot of off-season work in to try to, you know, have the best possible plan that you can. Especially, I mean, you do it regardless, but especially when you have coordinator changes or you're playing somebody that's got, you know, just a total roster makeover. So now you got to spend a lot of time, you know, just trying to get a feel for who the player is, even though you're looking at him in a scheme that maybe isn't the same.
Two games, how do you feel about the rotation at tight end? What they've been able to get out of the offense?
Yeah, I've been good. I think they've been a steady group. Like I said, we got three guys that you know, we really like. Sapp had a little better week. A little better week last week. Ran out there first, but those guys are all guys we have a ton of confidence in. Bentancur is just going to keep getting better. He missed two big blocks, back-to-back plays late in the game that you know, he'll learn from. But he's made some plays. Sapp's made a couple plays. Olsen's made a couple big plays. I mean, I think the tight ends have been a real bright spot for us, just steady with what we've asked them to do to this point. But more to come.
The two nickel spots, there's a bigger and smaller one. What do you like from the rotations at both of those positions?
We've just had the two games, so the style of the teams we're playing kind of dictate that a little bit. The team we just played, personnel-wise, very different. And so you saw a lot of linebackers. You saw Jamal, you know, kind of our Sam guy. He played a lot of that position. I think Tink might have played about 15 plays. I mean, there was probably only about 20 snaps. And then you got AV that's playing some stuff, too, when we get into some of our package stuff, you know, on some long yardage stuff. So, you know, not having Khalil hurts us for sure. I mean, because he gives us the most flexibility. But the glass half full side of that is Ronan has been able to really, I think, advance in these first couple weeks and play through some mistakes, but just be able to go play. So I think that long term it will help us. So be excited to get Khalil back.
How important was it for Sadler to play as many snaps as he had to play at left tackle for you last week?
Well, I wish he didn't have to, but again, you know, some of these things early in the season can pay big benefits for you as you move, because they don't forget that. And, you know, he's a guy, you go into it and you say, okay, we really like, you know, we got five tackles. I mean, that's how we with Tristan and Blake and Sadler and Elijah and Braden. That's kind of how we looked at it. Like, okay, we got five tackles that we're going to be able to go through the season with. And but in the heat of the moment, and, you know, all of a sudden now you got Colin having to bump out, playing left guard, left tackle. I mean, first of all, it's good for him long term, just his versatility and his ability to, you know, put it on tape. I think that's a great thing for him, but certainly a great thing for us to have, you know, flexibility with guys that we can move, get our best five on the field, you know, however that shakes out. And when you got five guys that we think can play tackle, that's a really good thing. And Colin obviously can play guard. Elijah can play guard. Elijah can play center. You know, so that's a blessing. But so he's gotten some good experience now. I think that helps him. You know, a lot like Elijah last year as a freshman, having to go play some tackle and do a good job. That you don't forget that. That leads to confidence.
Anyone else for Coach?
There was an ESPN article this summer saying how one of the transfer portal players you wanted to keep was A.J. Hoffler with Georgia Tech. Now, I guess, what kind of made him a special player that you, I guess, wanted to possibly retain here at least?
Yeah, you know, I think A.J.'s a great talent. I mean, he's a great player, and I think he was kind of on his way. But, you know, that decision he made, he's a great kid, great mom and dad, really just loved the whole family, and wish we could have, you know, finished the race with him here. But, again, that's just a decision that he made, and respect that, and I think he's got a bright future.
Yeah. 5 years. How hopeful are you that could actually happen?
Well, I'm very hopeful, but you know, I don't really have any intel, if you will. But I think it would be great for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think it would clean up a lot of the medical waiver, you know, all that stuff. But I also think it would clean up an unintended consequence. You know, when they put the four games in for the redshirt deal, you could play four and still redshirt. That was a positive. Everybody loved that. But now with the world we're in, now it's like, you know, especially with rosters being lessened, and it's like, oh, all of a sudden now you got – and it's not their fault. It's just the system, the way it is. You know, so now all of a sudden you got a bunch of kids that are going to self-redshirt themselves after four games if they're not playing or where they are or they don't – and, you know, you got agents involved. There's a lot of stuff. And all of a sudden, no, you get 10, 11, 12 guys self-redshirt themselves to save a year. Well, that's – first of all, it's not good for the game. It's not what it was – the system was – it's not what it was intended to be. And I don't think it's good for the player. Whereas if you just – the 5 for 5 would just clean all that up. Because then guys could play. Even if they knew they were leaving, they'd still play, you know, in whatever role they would. And finish, and I just think, you know, it just creates bad blood, and I just don't think that stuff's necessary. I think the 5 for 5 would clean it all up. It's just my opinion.
Anybody Anybody else for Coach? All right. Thank you, Coach.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Fax and Childers and his crew for the Tiger Tailgate Show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. And then Dono Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on The Roar.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
This is Leighton Covage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
Folks, I think we can all agree that being overweight is a challenge. So many issues related to weight gain would just resolve themselves if only we could get that weight under control. And listen to me, the answer is not Ozempic. The answer is not more GLP-1 from a pill or a shot. The answer is a real, natural solution from PhD Weight Loss. PhD patients drop up to a third of their body weight without ever taking a drug. And sure, if you want to pay up to $20,000 a year to spend on losing precious muscle, be my guest. That's what happens when you go the Ozempic route. And don't even get me started on the endless list of side effects. Here's the deal. PhD Weight Loss helps you wake up your metabolism so your body produces its own weight loss hormones. So if you're already on Ozempic and want to transition off, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team will help you do it safely while continuing to shed those pounds. Call today, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfila.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
It's game time at Linden Floors. Huddle up and score big with unbeatable deals like luxury vinyl flooring starting at just $1.99 a square foot. That's right. Style, durability, and value, all in one winning play. We're family-owned, Spartanburg strong, and ready to tackle your remodel. Swing by 101 Chester Street or call 864-494-4317 to get in the game, or visit us online at lindenfloors.com and make your home the MVP this season. Linden Floors, where design scores every time.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final segment of the program here on a Tuesday with Faxon and John on the Roar. 654 Roar is the number. John, obviously, with Dabo Swinney and his press conference on Tuesdays, we always get this kind of mini segment on our way out the door. So what better way to pave way for Jerry and Anderson on our phone lines? Let's get Jerry in here real quick to beat the buzzer. Jerry, good to hear from you. How are we living?
Thank you. Good, Faxon. How you doing? Faxon, I'm on. Don't ask me if I can be negative. I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to be truthful.
Yes, sir.
From what I've seen over the first 2 weeks. And again, I'm not going to go back to the last 2 years. I'm going to go by what I've seen this year. Because again, I have questions coming in to this year offensively. Play calling, I think, has been subpar. Offensive line play has been below par.
Yeah.
Running back. Again, still a question mark, okay? You know, we're playing people that haven't played. Eze has not played hardly any at all. Adam Randall's new at position. So, that, I mean, that's a question mark. Wide receivers, yes. They've got to get, you know, again, what I saw in the LSU game, I didn't, you know, they got separation and we missed them. There's times where we didn't get separation. When we go to Saturday, okay, we cannot make this a thing where we're going three and out on three of our first four drives. We need to be putting up points, field position, causing them to have some issues with things that they want to do offensively. Because if we do that fast, we're going to lose. Because, again, if Georgia Tech is able to have some success running the football and then able to have us creep up and throw it behind us, we're in trouble. That's not being negative. I'm not a negative person when they come. I want to look at the positives. But that is just the facts that I see right now going into this game, that we've got to be better offensively. Garrett has got to do, to me, a better job of calling plays. I thought the first three plays Saturday against Troy were vanilla.
And I think a lot of what you're saying is fair, Jerry. Like, specifically for me, O-line play has been nowhere near where it needs to be if this football team wants to be a contender. And then on the play-calling front, Clemson just has to have more success on first down. I think that's the most important thing right now for this offense for me. Running the ball early and often, establishing positive gains on first down to help our quarterback get into a rhythm in Cade Klubnik. These are things I'm looking for this Saturday down at Georgia Tech and what I'm anticipating to see. I think Adam Randall's going to have a really big day. And I think you figured out a couple things in the run game in the second half against Troy to hopefully build off of in the first half in Atlanta.
Quick question. I'll say this off the air, fact. I didn't hear what Dabo said about Williams, whether he's going to be available or it's still a day-to-day thing. I'll hang up and listen to that. Take care, bud.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you checking in. 654 Roar is the number. And, John, my understanding is that until the official injury and availability report is released later in the week, that is the soonest update we will get on Antonio Williams.
That is correct. That'll be the soonest update we get on Tristan Lee. It'll probably be the soonest update we get on Khalil Barnes. Anybody who has been banged up, I expect Coach Sweeney to not give us anything until the reports from now and moving forward, now that we're in conference play.
Texter gets in and says, do you think this is a situation where we're running Clemson's offense and not Garrett Riley's offense? No, I don't. Because, again, last year the offense lit it up and nobody was complaining for about an eight-week stretch there to conclude the season when you're putting up big-time numbers. I think you start asking those questions when you lose and you don't execute at a high enough level to win, which is understandable, and that's your right as a fan. But no, from my personal perspective, I do not believe that that's the case. I think Clemson needs to play better at just about every single position group on offense, and I think that they need to call plays better as well. I don't think this is a one person, one coordinator, one coach blame. I think this is collective failure at this point, and you need to figure it out. and you need to figure it out quick before Saturday down at GT, which I'm anticipating them to do. And I'm not going to beat the Antonio Williams thing into, you know, the bush for no reason, but that is a big part of why you've struggled on offense, is him not being in the fray.
We've got a minute and a half left of the program, and I need you to explain something for me.
Let me try and help here.
So we talked about this team briefly in hour one. Gamecock James got in. And for those who are still confused, we are still an affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. It's just football season, so, you know, we're not playing a lot. But, however, Spencer Strider takes the bump tonight for the Braves. We will have the Morgan Thomas show on tonight. We will not be carrying the Braves. But my question to you is this. Spencer Strider is going to be on the mound. And I think I saw something from the TV broadcast yesterday. The mustache is gone?
It's babyface Spencer.
Babyface Spencer. What is he going into his redshirt campaign at Doug Kingsmore Stadium? What are we doing here?
I've got no idea what's going on, but he's switching up the vibes and he's shaved the mustache. We got babyface Strider, John.
Is clean-shaven Strider going to be a problem?
I hope so. I hope so. Texter gets in and says he could be a problem. Man, we've never seen. When's the last time we've seen this? College?
I think it was his redshirt campaign, like when he was here, you know.
2019, 2020, something like that.
Before COVID, yeah. It's been a while, so I just. Just a little, just something to monitor this evening when Spencer Strider takes the bump. Is this the new look Strider going to be, helping rewrite the ship there for him?
Yeah, definitely excited to watch Spencer hopefully continue to progress. There's a lot on the television tonight. I'll be tuned into a little bit of Braves for sure. John, great job as always on the program. Looking forward to tomorrow. Nick, thanks for hanging out and shadowing our intern here. Doing a great job as always. Passing the baton off to William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead with Out of Bounds. See you tomorrow at 9, everybody.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM.